Our reading today is from a book by Margaret Wheatley called Who Do We Choose to Be? If you're paying any attention to the news from everywhere, it's hard to avoid the specter of collapse. But then what happens? Do we, as most do, fall into private collapse, consumed by fear and despair? Do we become one who does nothing but complain for what has been lost? Do we succumb to grief for the suffering of so many? Do we give up and spend whatever time is left in hedonistic pursuits? Do we cocoon in self-protective bubbles with a 9-foot TV screen and surround sound? Blind reactivity and fear are not the answer. Self-pretend is not the answer. Denial is not the answer. Sane leadership is. What is sane leadership? It is the unshakable faith in people's capacity to be generous, creative, and kind. It is the commitment to create the conditions for these capacities to blossom, protected from the external environment. It is the deep knowing that even in the most dire circumstances, more becomes possible as people engage and discernment. Within our sphere of influence, there is so much we can do. We can train ourselves to see clearly, to fully acknowledge this time in all its details, and then, wherever we are, whoever we're with, we can choose actions based on insight, compassion, and wisdom. If we choose this role for ourselves, we are joining those few who, throughout history, always come forward to serve in a time of collapse. Things are pretty crazy out there. I don't need to detail how, you know. I use the word crazy with care. I don't mean it as a slur against those with mental illness, which is most of us at some time or another. I don't mean it as a synonym for stupid or cruel or a very different opinion than mine. I mean unhinged from reality, logic, and from any reasonable sense of what consequences follow upon what actions. Insane. There are two general temptations at such a time. One is to throw our bodies into the machine to make the gears grind to a halt. We can't rest. Every time we do, another crisis erupts, and we're filled with guilt and a sense of inadequacy. We feel we just must keep engaging, as exhausting as it is. And the other temptation is to find a refuge and stay there. Do the things we like. Find comfort. Do everything that makes us feel safe. Turn inward. Turn off the news. Now, activism is a great thing. To engage in the struggle. Necessary, important, and worthy. And so is refuge. Just taking a break. Go ahead, put the blanket over your head and rest once in a while. And our congregation is both of those things. Is a place to help activists come together and continue acting, to a place to shake us out of our complacency and say, here's something else we need to do. And also just a place of safety and comfort for when we need that. Those are important things. But I call them temptations because I think what we really need in such crazy, a third way, among other places, can also be. And it's what Margaret Wheatley calls an island of sanity. It's not just a refuge, right? It's not just a place that you hang out free from the tumultuous sea. So this is, I get these two kinds of sanity. And one is an island with a wall around it, with a storm, sea raging and hurling rocks against the wall. And you go inside the gate and close it behind you, and there you are safe while the storm continues unabated. And the other is, mental picture, is a sort of island from which calm radiates out. You know, the waves are a little calmer, and they can come right up onto the shore, even though the storm is right out there. You can send out boats, you can throw out lines of rescue. Now, the metaphor doesn't really work for calming more and more of the sea around you, but that's what I imagine you doing from this island of sanity, because you're not avoiding the knowledge of what's going on out there. You're not even just resting, although it is a place of rest and refuge. It's of sanity. There's a meditation program starting just now, I guess they've done it for a few years, in the East Bay, a Buddhist sangha there that signs people up for 1 year of activism to be mindful and engaged and have a Buddhist path together as a help to do that. And I noticed that the vow that they take, those who sign up for this year together, is not to burn out. The image I like personally, and Wheatley says, you know, I like the metaphor of an island. Use whatever you like. It's got its limits, of course, like all metaphors. I always think of the image of a cell, one unit of an immune system, being a T cell, to also marshal immunity against whatever poses a danger. And the word sanity is health, the word for health. Sanity is health, insanity is ill health. She writes, on an island of sanity, the sanity is in treating people, as Grace Lee Boggs, whom we also heard from this morning, as Grace Lee Boggs said, as human beings. The technical name for our species has another double description, sapiens. Seems we need the reminder. Even though in my early years of promoting participation and self-organization, I was critical of leaders, I've come to see not charismatic demigods or masters of the universe, but people they trust because they embody the values and qualities we're working toward. Leaders don't have to be perfect, and it helps to make one's personal struggles and challenges visible if one is a leader, but people need to see what's possible, that it is possible to live with integrity, that humans can still live and work well together, that we can still behave as human beings, Homo sapiens sapiens, that this is why we need leaders. Now, her book was written specifically for leaders. She brings it around to leaders in various fields. Her subtitle has something to do with leadership, and she writes about that a lot, which is why if I hadn't already trusted her so much to be not only particularly human, but particularly wise, sapiens, sapiens, I might have avoided this book altogether. I guess I have some images lodged in my head, from the popular images of leadership. In high school, leaders are the most popular people, which usually translates to best looking and or most athletic. And then a little later, the people who emerge as leaders, that person is a natural leader, are particularly charismatic, organized, energetic. And as we go on in life, who are our leaders? Who are the ones who are recognized as our leaders on a national and global scale? They're the rich and powerful. Usually they're increasingly both. Maybe now and then we hail leaders who come from the worlds of education or sports or the popular arts. We have a narrow range of what we think of as a leader by and large. So how about thinking in a more down-to-earth way? To think about ourselves as the people who embody the values and qualities we're working towards, people who are trustworthy. When we are those things, we are leaders. In a PTO, on our Facebook page, in a classroom, whether as teacher, aide, parent, or student, in a work group, in our homeowners association, in our local community organization, in our family, and of course in a congregation, Because according to Wheatley, here are some of the things that leaders do. And as I speak them, you can think about how you are called upon to do them in small ways on your various islands, your life at home and work, school and family, neighborhood and congregation, the places you are building and can build to be places of sanity, of strength, and health. Leaders, she says, create coherence at the core, a dependable and trustworthy identity that people can rely on not to change too quickly. If we're doing well, leaders ensure that our smugness and arrogance don't seal us off from change. If we're doing badly, leaders stop us from hunkering down and becoming overly defensive or beating ourselves up for having failed. Now, I want to pause here, because this language, ensure, stop us, can be, for me, discouraging. What if you don't have people do things to stop them from doing things? Even recognized, named, hailed leaders often don't have that kind of power, much less we toilers in the trenches, we workers here on our small islands. But remember, we're being T cells. What if we simply act as leaders wherever we are and whatever our power? So here are some other actions of a leader, according to Wheatley. A leader keeps watch over the identity of the organization, of the group, notes aloud when the actions are drifting from the identity. This may be especially likely in times of crisis, and that noting out loud is especially likely in times of crisis. Hey, here's what we're all about. Oh, but we're doing that. Come on back. A leader, she says, carefully and consciously attends to the integrity and actions of the group. Do actions embody its values? Does it need to rest and reorganize itself or seize the moment and push forward? Again, think about being in any gathering. Whether or not the structure is hierarchical, anybody there can say, you know, I'm feeling like everybody's a little stressed out here. I know I am. Let's take a moment to rest. Let's sing together. Let's break for a snack. And don't you feel led when the person does that? She says, leaders commit to personal change. They're self-aware, noticing how they are being influenced and changed in both positive and negative directions. That honesty, that modeling. You know, I feel like I'm really falling down on what I said I was going to do. I need to be more aware of what I can manage. And apologize. Boy, that is leadership in action. And again, you don't have to be the chair to do that. Anybody can do that. What if we trust our own authority to describe what we see, to hold fast to our own identity and that of the group as we see it and declare it, to help anchor others in that reality? What if we trust ourselves to do our best to act in accordance with our values, even when the current pushes the opposite way? I think all of those things create an island of sanity. All of those things shore up the whole immune system. No, we can't do all the healing ourselves. We can't make everybody strong ourselves, but we can make them stronger, healthier. And that is no small thing. In his autobiography, Theodore Roosevelt sought a way to, as he said, sum up one's duty in life. And he found it in this wisdom that he quoted from Squire Valley, Virginia. Do what you can with what you've got where you are. How about that for a mantra for leadership? Do what you can with what you've got where you are. Church is one of those places for all of us gathered here. It's, as I said, a refuge, absolutely. Come rest when all you can do is rest. Hear music, be in the comforting presence of loving people. It is a refuge, and that's important. And it's a call to the struggle. It's a reminder of all that needs to be done. It's a pointing toward all that craziness out there to do something about it. It's that too, a center for activism. But most of all, It's an island of sanity, which means it's a work in progress. We're building the island of sanity. We are here with all our failings and foibles. If it were our refuge, maybe it would be perfect, but it's not. We together are creating the island of sanity where we put into practice those values and dreams that we share. And leadership, again, is not necessarily come with a title, come with your name in the order of service. We're so grateful to all of those who are ushers, who run the sound system, the congregation. And even when you're not doing any of those things, you too are a leader. When you talk to somebody on the patio after the service who's sharing the troubles in their family or with their work, and the next week when you see them, you say, hey, how's that going? You are living those actions and values. You are being a person that we can trust because you embody the values and qualities we're working towards. Thank you. Welcome to leadership. When the person who signed up for a role can't make it because of a family crisis and three people volunteer to fill in, that's leadership. When you show up and open your heart and mind to change, to other people's concerns, to new ways of thinking, just to rest and understanding, that's leadership. And I have complete faith that that does radiate out. That strength and sanity and health affect not only this island, but everything we touch. In all of our lives, when we're feeling some mistrust, impatience, and we act out of kindness instead, that's leadership. Think of the moments that someone has done that for you. Think of walking down the street and somebody approaches who's a little kooky, maybe a little smelly, and in more trouble than you can help with. And you're feeling like you can't really do anything, and the friend you're with stops and says a kind word and helps. Don't you feel led by your friend at that moment? Don't you feel inspired in that little island? When you're in a dispute with your family and says, hold on, let's all listen to each other. We're going off track. Don't you feel led? Don't you feel helped? We all have leaders. That's how we do it. That's how we build an island of sanity right here, how we help each other build islands of sanity wherever we may be, for everyone. So may we do.